This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I just found out all of my star moon sign things.
You're fucking Leo, dude.
No, I knew that.
You're
but
total
I was like,
Leo, bro.
But I'm also Cancer ascendant, moon and Virgo.
Yeah,
so
interesting.
Don't know what those mean.
I'm a Cancer and we're friends, bro.
Is that good or bad? Or are we Cancers to each other?
Well, I mean, I'm Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
But
so
I'm also
is your
Cancer.
Birthday about to happen?
Happened yesterday.
Happy belated! That's exciting! Wait,
I'm
when's
old.
Your birthday? Your birthday soon.
August 2nd.
Okay, I'm 18th. Leo.
Wait, we're all
Leos.
Summer babies?
Leo's.
Cancer! Leos.
Cancer! Right. All
something
right.
about chanting Cancer.
It's time for Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam.
Hi, everybody.
Ooh, let's get sultry with it.
Someone emailed us and said I scream too much, so this episode's about...
It was
hi,
me.
It's a new me now.
Hello,
hi.
Everybody.
If you're just joining us, thank you so much.
Welcome to another episode of Punch Up the Jam.
And who's that speaking over there?
Right over here?
Right over there.
That's the daddy of soul.
No!
The granddaddy of soul. The monk with the funk. Dimmy, did you weebe?
Oh, you know him. You love him. And you
oh.
maybe... I'm already getting too high-pitched. Maybe.
The problem is that you're too high-pitched, so we're going to pitch your voice entirely down in post.
I can do it.
Maybe you've heard of me.
Oh, wow. Cookie Monster.
It's a bad guy from Inspector Gadget.
Oh, Dr. Claw?
Mielbredo.
Oh, full name of Dr. Claw is Mielbredo.
It is. Isn't it a quizzes?
That is a crazy coincidence. Mr. Claw, sorry, Mrs. Claw,
yeah.
What do we do here on this here podcast?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. By the way, forgive my voice. I have the cold.
It's fine.
And when you have a low voice, you get the cold. It goes higher. What we do here is take a song every week. And we say, what's wrong with that song? I don't know. Let's figure it out. So we spend 30 minutes doing that. And then we go, I think we should fix it now. Here you go. Boom. Thank you.
And
you're
we
welcome.
Punch up that jam.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's called that.
That is why it's called that.
I just figured that out.
It's crazy because you came up with it. And I was like, that's pretty good. And then I was like, how many episodes is it going to take until she understands what that
right.
means?
I have a tiny little brain.
You do have a very small a lady's brain.
Speaking of lady brains. Let's introduce our guest!
What?
You know her from being just a good comedian,
mm-hmm.
from the Bechdel cast,
mm-hmm.
and...
As the hacker who codes.
What?
It's Jamie Loftus!
Hi, guys!
Hello!
Hi.
Oh my god, sorry for just appearing in hacker. There was a series of zeros and ones, and now I'm here. I just hacked from one location.
You metastasized into a physical form.
Yeah, it was
like
really
the Matrix.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for being here.
I wish people could have seen that. If only this was a video thing we did.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it's fine. I'm happy to sell gifts of
sure.
it. Yeah.
So I'm so excited to be revisiting the new metal genre.
Before
today.
We do that, I did want to say up top, just because we've gotten a lot of tweets about this,
oh.
and I've realized that people don't get to the end of these episodes.
Oh.
If you want to listen to any of the Punch Up Jams that we do, go to the website, punchupthejam.com. If you want to suggest a song for us to do, email us, punchupthejam@gmail.com. Don't tweet at us. We cannot keep track of those. And finally, the way we find these song stems is just by Googling the song and the word stems. Okay, now back to the show.
That was really casual.
It was very casual, but
great
I made
job.
A note that I'd figure out a way to get it in subtly. New metal.
New metal, we've only done once before. We did Korn Freak on a Leash.
Oh, okay, that's a classic.
Yeah,
lots of mouth noises.
Yeah.
And we have like a running list of songs, like songs we want to do, mm-hmm. songs we think are funny, or guest suggestions. And I sent you that list,
mm.
and you were like... Nookie.
Nookie, I'm so familiar with this song that it's like I can smell my uncle's car when I hear this song. I can smell my stoner uncle's SUV driving me to high school blasting this song.
That is exactly what this song sounds like.
This song literally smells like your uncle's car.
It came out in 1999, and if you somehow don't know, it's by none other than Limp Bizkit.
Beep, beep, beep.
If you can't hear, it's Bizkit. But of course, if you're over, I don't know, 28, you already knew that.
I've never heard anyone pronounce it with the Z. That's so funny that I'm thinking about that now.
Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit.
I think it's especially a
like
weird...
a business kit is what it's for.
Limp briefcase?
I want an erect briefcase.
Yeah. Well, you've come to the wrong band.
A Limp Bizkit had a real moment in the late 90s, early O's. Mm. And I, for the life of me, can't figure out why. I really am trying to understand how this became so popular and a mainstream audience.
I blame angry white boys.
That was like the primary audience.
And it's like, it's good that there's music for them, but also it had to be this.
It is. It's. I can't really figure out if it's like metal, but with talking, or if it's rap, but with electric guitars.
I feel like it's metal with talking.
Metal with talking sounds a lot closer.
Yeah, it's like poetry, but they were like, well, poetry is for nerds, so how do we make it cool?
Yeah, like, what if poetry, but like, the diction in this song is wild. Like,
all over the place.
Every syllable, I'm like, that's not how that should sound. That's just wrong.
It's Fred Durst, baby. He's an artist.
He's going up, he's going down. There's absolutely no, I can't track what he's thinking
at all. I was cutting up the clips for this song, and I was just like, well, usually I do it where it's like, okay, 4-4, I'm just going to cut one verse. But then it's like some of his lines would go over in a way that I was like, what are the cadences for any of these lines?
I would love to see the sheet music for this. I want to see the notes and the diction of this written on sheet music and just see if anyone could sight read it. I don't think so.
Absolutely
I don't
not.
Think
so.
Fred, you're going to want to jump an octave for no reason in the middle of this word.
And there's a little notation here that says Bob Dylan-y, so I want you to do that one like this for no reason.
Okay, I only have a couple facts about this tune, and then we can just get straight into it, because what else is there to say, man? It speaks for itself.
It really does speak for it. It raps for itself.
The guitarist, who, if you've ever seen, that image will be burned into your brain for the rest of your life, Wes Borland, he said about the lyrical content, the music was cool, but I didn't like the lyrics at all. The funny thing is that Nookie was actually the working title.
No.
Oh, wow.
When we were in the studio, there was a porn magazine. Which already I'm like, why was there a porn magazine in a professional recording studio?
I've heard so many stories of there just being porn in someone's recording studio. And I'm always just like, okay.
What's the move there? Take it to the restroom with you? Or if Fred Durst like, is it cool if I just jerk off all over a magazine and then record Nookie again?
He's like, I want to pre-jerk off record, I want to post-jerk off record, and we'll split the difference.
Honestly, I'm not privy to, like, you know, locker room talks, because unfortunately I do...
Not like sports.
I do not like sports, but I kind of think maybe that is cool in that kind of hang, to be like, guys, sorry, I'm not feeling it. I think I gotta go cum really quick. Like, I could see that in this group being totally legit.
I'm not feeling Nookie right now. Also, Nookie is such an old man word for, I'm like, who's
working title?
Apparently
it's British. I think it's British slang for sex.
Mm. That also does, but, okay.
British people love to make, like, sexual slang into something that's like, ooh, adorable. Like, ooh, do you want to go snog a bit?
Yeah. I just don't think that Limp Bizkit would be, like, the person I would think would do that.
It's because of the backwards hat.
But apparently he said when we were in the studio, there was a porn magazine that had Nookie on the cover. And I was like, this song's called Nookie!
Inspiring.
What a great story for how they made this song.
If you listen to the words, which obviously we will, I never have previous to this episode. And I did in preparation for the punch-up, and it's actually a love song about heartbreak.
Oh, wow. Is it really?
It is.
It's weird that he focuses on the sex aspect.
Well, you'll see why. The other thing I will say, and this is peak 2000 to me, is that at the 2000 MTV VMAs, Video Music Awards, someone had the bright idea to put together the duo of Christina Aguilera and Fred Durst.
Oh, I remember this controversy.
It was a huge deal.
Yeah. Because everyone, controversy?
Oh, yeah. Every, like, rock person was like, what the fuck, man? Christina Aguilera? It was when she had her, like, red leather pants and, like, her white hair and brown hair underneath.
This was, like, was it, like, stripped era, Christina?
I don't know which album.
Okay.
She's singing, like, Come On Over.
I think it was, like, Genie in a Bottle era.
Right, because Strip was, like, 02, I think.
Yeah, she's singing, like, Come On Over and
Genie Bottle
and stuff. So she does, like, a little medley, and then Fred Durst comes out, just walks out of the audience as if he's, like, just a person watching the show.
Like a plant?
Yeah. You guys remember when Lil' Kim walked on the stage during Jay-Z and Alicia Keys and just was like nodding her head? Mm-hmm. It feels a lot like that.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, you're not supposed to be here.
And then Christina like kind of visibly doesn't know what to do now that he's on stage just talking. And so she's just like kind of saying the last word of whatever sentence he says, being like, ah,
yeah.
Yeah. Ah. And so immediately afterward, the rock community flipped on him and was like, what the fuck, sell out? And so he was like, I already told you guys before, I did it all for the Nookie, man. That's why I did that with Christina. I want that girl. That's that.
He could not have looked less interested in that woman. Like, I'll play a clip, but you guys have to see the video of it because he, like you said, just walks on stage and then walks off.
Well, the best part is that Christina responded and was like, you wish you got some Nookie from it.
Fred Durst is a straight up virgin. Like, absolutely. He is a virgin.
He's calling it Nookie.
I think that's going to track through the song, actually.
Yeah, where I'm like, he is not 100% on how sex works.
There's got to be a line here that's just like, I put my wiener in a thing and I don't know. That's when I blast it off.
And then my thingy goes off like a hose and it's cool.
Do you have a clip of that VMA performance?
Yes, I do.
Need to hear it. This is Fred Durst walking on stage.
Big drum.
Tepid response. And I don't think it's fair.
And I don't even think that anybody cares. Terrible run. It'll leave a hole. Down inside of me. And it'll leave a scar. Can anybody see that we gotta get it out?
Get it out! We gotta get it out! Get it out. We gotta get it out!
Oh, the drop, though.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
We're going to headbang too hard. We're going to be all injured. We can't.
Honestly, if I'm not looking at it, if I can't hear Fred Durst, I'm like, nu metal goes. Listen, yeah. I get it.
Oh, my God.
That fucking bass line.
Also, you hear the crackling?
Did you hear that? Wah!
Oh my god!
Oh
my god! One, two.
Oh, he's entering the studio.
Okay, here I come.
The first word in the song is shit.
Shit!
He wants you to know that this is not for parents.
But it's so funny. I feel like a lot of songs do this at the time where they're like, this is a full-on rock song, but if we add some of that like vinyl like noise,
yep.
Now yeah. It's kind of rappy.
I feel like adding the vinyl noise somehow changes the font that appears on the cover of the album.
It's like,
it's the vibe is shifted just enough.
It's like an instant parental advisory sticker on there. I'm just like, oh, this is for adults.
Maybe like Fred Durst thinks he's like fooling parents. Like if we add in a little snack, like snap, crackle, pop at the top, they're going to be like, oh, this is our music.
Yeah.
This is the old days. And then you hear, shit! And then parents are like, no, I've been tricked.
Also, that's not how you count in a song. Like,
shit,
two? No, he says 1-1-2.
Oh, he's going Fibonacci.
1-2. I'm like, I mean, a lot of songs do this where they like fake count in. And I'm kind of like, do you know why people count in songs? Or do you just think that's like a fun vocal ad lib at the top of a song to say some numbers?
It's like a microphone check that you were like, well, no space in between the check and the record. Let's just go straight into it.
Yeah, like a fake casualness. I'm like, oh, I just rolled off the first thought. This is all freestyle, baby.
And it's very good.
And also, he doesn't start rapping when he says 1-1-2. I mean, did the music change at all when he said two?
No. It literally goes.
He said it in the middle of the bar.
Maybe it's a shout out to the band 112, or the group. Okay.
112.
112.
Peaches and cream. Yeah. Need to know that I'm a fiend. Sure, yeah. Okay, I'm glad we solved that mystery off the top.
I did find the stems for this song.
You
which
did
is,
not.
I
you
did not. Absolutely did. And it's great because, I mean, as I just mentioned, there's the little sound at the beginning, which sounds like a little screech of a guitar. It's not. It is a man doing the sound. Here is that stem isolated.
Oh,
It's just that sound over and over.
I'm not convinced it's a person.
Blood pressure
no,
just
you can
spikes.
Hear the. You can hear the.
You're right.
Is he
You're right.
Whining like a little baby?
Yeah, it feels like they put it through some sort of process.
They're like, what? Can we do like a power drill sound? It sounds too much like a power drill. Do it with your mouth.
Okay. Wow. Wow. It sounds like they're doing it and then someone's just going, wow, after each time.
Yeah, they're self-congratulating.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
There are also some great guitar lines in this. This sounds like a spy theme.
This sounds like a perfect circle.
I don't know the band.
It kind of does. Very atmospheric.
Yeah. Ooh, is this Tool? Who is this?
The thing is, when you isolate these, they sound very good on their own. And then altogether, it's just a cacophony. Like, there's also this part. Which is, I feel like... the nu metal sound.
I don't know how they make a bass sound like this. It feels like it's gonna explode my headphones.
It feels like they just overdrive everything and then turn it down later.
It's super compressed, I think.
Yeah.
It's such a unique sound now looking back. I'm like, oh no, I remember. I know exactly where I was when I listened to this.
I had not heard this song until we did this episode.
What?
Like in full. I know the chorus.
You didn't go to Jamie's uncle's car and listen to it. Like,
you weren't in Mr. Fisher's algebra class.
I skipped out.
He sold kids weed.
Did he really?
I don't mean to out my own. Yeah, he did.
I'm surprised you guys smoke weed to Limp Bizkit. I feel like you only chew tobacco to Limp Bizkit.
I'm embarrassed that I'm like, oh, that's cool.
That's so freaking cool. I never smoked weed. I was a child narc, but my cousins.
Are you not an adult narc then?
I'm a cool adult. Mm. I'm a cool. No, I found out the other day that I have never smoked a bong correctly.
What?
My thumb placement was way off. And so I have been telling people for years, I was just like, yeah, weed doesn't really affect me. And it's because I've never smoked it.
Makes sense.
Almost
that
ever.
Exactly, though, is the life story of the kid that, like, loved Limp Bizkit in middle school.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I fucking smoked, dude. But he never, like, actually, like, inhaled.
Limp Bizkit fans think they're addicted to weed.
Yeah, I'm a drug addict. I smoke, like, a bowl once every month.
He's the kid who's got a backwards cigarette on his ear and is always flipping off the photo like booth.
Yeah. Love him. Hot.
Very hot guy.
Hot man.
Shit.
And then he goes on to say, I came into this world as a reject. Look into these eyes, and you'll see the size of the flames dwelling on a path. It's burning up my brain.
Everyone is burning up the pain. Hey. Oh my god, those ad libs! Those hot ad libs!
Oh, I got the ad libs. Dwelling on a path, it's burning up my brain. Hot.
I already screamed. I'm so sorry. I can't.
Scream it up. This is a scream-worthy song.
He has like 0.3 seconds to get hot in there. You can like feel him on the edge of his seat. He's like, hot.
I wish I hadn't been so quick with these rhymes. I'd have more time to say hot.
Also, A, not a good ad-lib. B, it didn't need an ad-lib there. No. In fact, this whole song doesn't need ad-libs.
It really doesn't.
Like, is this Migos? Like, I don't know why you're doing this. Don't do this.
I like hearing the asterisks within the song where he's like, what I said was, what I meant was, hot.
He's his own, like, what's it called? Spark notes? It's like, oh, if you didn't want to listen to all of that, hot.
Oh, my God. So, okay, now that I know that Fredris has a jazz night, it's kind of recontextualizing what I think about this.
Oh, yeah.
Because at first I was like, this is just somebody that does not understand music. Just going, yeah, sure, I can do something. I came into this world as a reject. Look into these eyes. Like, that's not...
Look into these eyes.
There's no regard for melody or rhythm. It's just
words. Like, inflection is so crazy. That
it's wild.
But no,
every single, look into these eyes.
Look into these eyes. It's like the worst musical in the world.
It feels like he thought, what if I could scat, but I did actual words. He's like,
which is why now that you're saying he does jazz, I'm like, wait, is this just rap jazz?
Yes, this is rap jazz rock.
Hot.
Okay, he said, I came into this world as a reject. Look into these eyes, then you'll see the size of the flames.
Size of the flames.
Which, by the way, wait.
The size of the flames in his eyes?
I guess. I don't know what that has to do with being a reject.
Well, maybe that's why you're rejected.
Yeah, people are like, oh, that's, baby shouldn't
he's
have
got
those.
Fires in his eyes.
Yeah.
It's just flames burning, dwelling on the past. It's burning on my brain.
Hot.
So hot, right.
Because of the flames.
That burns has to learn from the pain.
So I think he's saying, if you look into my eyes, you'll see that I keep dwelling on my past, and that's why the fire is burning my brain.
I'm so angry.
Yes.
Got it. I mean, that checks out. Okay.
Everyone that burns has to learn from the pain.
It does sound a lot like 7th grade poetry class, I will say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone that heard Eminem once and is like, same.
Don't say Eminem in front of Fred Durst. They beefed.
Did they really?
Did Eminem rap about Fred Durst?
Probably. I think he did say, and then Eminem also had a thing with Christina. I was almost conflating beefs.
Easy to do in the late 90s.
It's true.
Everyone's got beef with everyone.
Christina really did beef with a lot of white rappers at this time.
I heard her when she said, I didn't have sex with Fred Durst. She's like, and I also didn't have sex with Carson Daly. And I was like, why are people saying Christina had sex with so many people?
The wild, like, perpetuated rumor that Carson Daly was fuckable at any time really still kills me. There is an Eminem verse about like something something Christina Aguilera and Fred Durst something something who she gave head to first. Does that sound familiar?
I vaguely remember this. Familiar. It's probably referencing Fred Durst saying they had sex after the VMAs, I'm guessing.
Right. Man.
Which they definitely didn't.
It does remind you a bit of like how, I mean, we're not great now either, but how much more anti-woman we were at that time.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, she fucks everyone just because she exists.
It feels like little by little, we're turning down that meter. Like, all right, you guys won't take a 10. We'll go to 8 and see where you think.
But I'm still mad at Ariana Grande for breaking up with Mac Miller.
Yeah.
You can't take that away from me.
Burning on my brain.
Look into these eyes.
Look into these eyes. Hey, I think another day.
That's the only musical part of the whole song, I will say.
Yeah.
And it's just like a chump. Let me see. I have it here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times in a row. Mm-hmm.
I will say, I feel like if I weren't listening to his voice over it, I would think this is just sort of like jazzy instrumental rock. It feels kind of like a J Dilla thing where it's just like, this is just something for someone to rap over. And then because he's rapping over it, it's like, well, you fucked up the rhythm. It just sounds bad.
Right.
Well, I mean, but even saying the word rhythm, you're giving him too much credit.
That's very true.
There's no rhythm to this song.
I'd argue the like a chump part has, and yes. The only reason I say it is that because I remember my uncle would play this song and he would play System of a Down and he would play Godsmack and he would play, he was the worst.
Did your uncle have a goatee?
Of course he had a goatee.
I was like, no, wait, the goatee sprouts from his chin the second he listens to these.
What he had was a goatee. What he did not have was a teaching degree. It's wild that he was teaching at a high school. But during the Like a Chump, like, he would do that thing that losers in cards do where he would, like, pump the brakes a little bit.
Oh. Yeah.
Of, like a chump.
To, like, make his body like bounce so he doesn't have to dance.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think it's because that's the only singable part of the song until the chorus.
Yeah, and great use of the word chump.
Truly.
Absolutely.
Chump is such an underused word, and it's so fun to say.
It's unfortunate that it doesn't rhyme it with anyone.
Like a chump. Hey, like a grump. Hey, Forrest Gump.
Hey, take a dump. Hey.
So what he actually said, and this is where the heartbreak comes into play, but how could you know? Because no one's ever sung along to the verses, because how could you? You have to memorize jazz.
Sure.
Hey, I think about the days. My girly ran away with my pay when my fellows came to play. So that time the ad-lib happens before he says it. Now she's stuck with my homies that she fucked. Ooh! And I'm just a sucker with a lump in my throat. Hey! He's sad.
Wow.
I know.
So he's like holding back tears.
Yes!
Tears that are coming from the eyes that have flames in them.
Yes, because his girlfriend took his money and fucked his friends, and now he's just sitting there trying not to cry.
You know, big ups to Fred. It takes a lot to open up emotionally and say that you are maybe about to somehow cry.
Also, how mean of Wes, the guy who was the guitarist, who was like, I don't like these lyrics. I'm like, this actually is Fred Durst's real story, and
Maybe he was the homie that she fucked.
That's true. He's like, oh, I don't like... You're putting all my business out onto this song.
Right. The lyrics that I found spelled homies with E-E-Z.
I think that's probably as they were intended to be written.
I hope that that was like how it was like scrawled.
In the booklet.
Yes. In the booklet, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like just covered in Stussy S's. And like 42069.
I wish that it was Limp Bizkit and it was an S, but it's the Stussy S, so you have to say like Limp Biz Stussy Kit every time.
Gee, it actually took me a second. I was like, what are you saying? These words aren't words.
Oh, Limp Bizkit?
Limp Bizkit. Kit.
Limp Bizkit.
Kit. Bizkit.
Bizkit. Kit sounds like a diplomat.
Yeah, from like Mr. England.
Bizkit. Bizkit. Kit.
Sure. Should I be feeling bad? Should I be feeling good? It's kind of sad. I'm the laughing stock of the neighborhood. And you would think that I'd be moving on. But I'm a sucker, like I said. Fucked up in the head. Not. Very quick. Not.
That was the most Borat knot I've ever
Free
heard.
Free Borat. I'm proud.
Oh my God.
Trailblazer.
I don't even think we were saying knot anymore into 1999.
I guess, when did knot start?
I remember saying it a lot when I was like 7, which would have made it like 96.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe like 94 to 97 feels about right. And then it was very uncool.
And then he brought it back.
And then it came back with Borat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So there was, this would be during the dry spell for the usage of this term.
Right.
It's
yeah.
It's revolutionary.
He was like, I'm mixing it up, baby.
So not. So he like sells himself out in this part a little. Where he's like, I'm sad, not.
So he's like, he goes, should I be feeling bad?
Nope.
Should I be feeling good?
Nope.
I'm kind of sad. I'm the laughing stock of my neighborhood.
She's like, no, Fred, you're super cool.
That's what he should have been saying.
No, you're not.
Friends gotta support friends, man.
You're cool and you have a lot of sex.
I know. Isn't it funny? Like, wouldn't that be anybody else's approach? Like, fuck that. I'm fucking now. And he's like, nah, I'm just super sad, trying to recontextualize what we have.
I think Fred Durst is an open artist. He's like, I'm going to talk about my feelings in a way that most people won't. I'm not going to talk about how I just want to fuck. In this scenario, I'm a little upset about what happened.
I'm pleasantly surprised by how raw he's being.
And then he says, and you would think that I'd be moving on.
Move it.
But I'm a sucker. Like I said, fucked up in the head. Not.
The knot really takes the wind out of all the vulnerability.
It does.
Right, and also like
but also doubles down on it.
He just said he is upset. So I don't know why he's not suddenly been like, no, I'm not.
I feel like it's like him, he's saying like, I'm fucked up in the head because of this emotion. He's like, not, I'm not fucked up in the head. I'm normal and so are emotions.
Oh, okay. I'm willing to take that ride with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's.
I will say.
It was a very generous
when the
reading.
Horse comes in, I think that might get a little bit undone.
Sure.
Now I feel like with this story, the chorus could just be a great, denial.
I think
thing.
It is.
He's like, I did it for sex, but I'm also crying.
Yeah. I also think you might be right about him being a virgin.
I think he is a virgin.
Because reading this, I'm like, yeah, this. I'm just confused because he wasn't super young when they made this. So I'm like, this probably isn't his first love. And
he would
have
been
like
28, 29.
He must have been, right?
According to Genius, he has a quote where he says, it's about my ex-girlfriend, how she treated me like shit and I couldn't leave her, wouldn't get over it. She screwed my friends and used me for money. I tried to figure out why I did it and I figured I did it all for the nookie.
So that sounds like a lie you tell yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're trying to pretend you're not an emotional person.
Also, you can't lead up with, I'm very sad about all of this. Should I be feeling bad? No, it was for sex, man.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. It was all a joke.
Yeah.
That was a joke on you. Ha ha.
Not.
Also, can we talk about the structure of the song that he did? Verse one, and then like a refrain, like a chump. Hey. Went right back to another verse.
Yes, I hate that.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
He gets you psyched for the chorus and then he's like, all right, let me go back real quick.
I have never heard a song with this structure.
No.
It's crazy town. Okay, so then, the last little part of the
this
verse.
This is also the Bob Dylan-y part of it. Always like, it's kind of sad I'm a bigger stuff in the neighborhood. Which is also, who am I thinking of? Is it Coolio?
Yeah.
It's kind of sad I'm the laughing stock of the neighborhood.
Yeah. And maybe she just made a mistake and I should give her a break. My heart will ache.
What the hell you want me to say?
Who is he talking to? Who is he talking to?
I don't know, but they respond at the same time in the very next line.
Oh my god!
There's a whole conversation. God.
And maybe she just made a mistake, and I should give her a break.
Weirdly, like, understanding after just putting her on blast, just being like, maybe she wasn't in the wrong here.
Yeah, maybe she just, fell in love with my friend. But then he goes, my heart'll ache either way.
Yeah.
So I may as well be a fucking mean person.
Yeah, I might as well demonize it, because either way, I'm going to feel bad.
That
yeah.
is the 99 choice. Like, I'm going to feel bad anyways. I may as well put this woman down.
Yeah, why not, man? Yeah. It makes you seem really cool and not bald at all.
It feels like... I got hair! It feels like so much of this song, if it weren't in this genre, would just feel like a weirdly open love song about how it's like, I don't know why we broke up, but I have to admit that for me, a lot of it was just a sexual relationship. And because it's in this, like, clearly angry tone, it's like, what are you... You're just, like, lashing out.
Yeah.
Right. It's a tantrum.
Yes.
This whole genre is a tantrum.
It really is.
It's for grown men to get to express their anger in a nonviolent way, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that why this exists?
Sure.
Sure. Hey, what the hell? What do you want me to say? I won't lie. That I can't deny. Also, that's not enough words. That's just not enough words.
It's both not enough words and too many
words. Way too many words.
I won't lie that I can't deny.
He seems very... I don't know. I don't remember if this is like... a hallmark of the genre or just a choice of Fred's, but he really like will not allow for a moment of silence once he starts talking. Like he'll add in him talking on top of him talking, so you just have no space.
Yeah,
I think the ad-libs are Wes. I think they are.
Really?
I think they
are. Oh, I thought they were just Fred. Here, let me hear Fred that layers. One ad-lib part again.
Dwelling on the past, it's burning up my brain. Hot.
Yeah, no, that's a different guy. That's Wes.
It could go either way.
Hot.
Hot.
And then later rhymes it with not.
I'm so sorry. That's so funny.
It's great.
And also, like, you can't just write off this whole genre, because it influenced a lot of where music ended up going after it.
And there are some good songs in this genre. I genuinely, like, I think, people have suggested it a lot, but I think Let the Bodies Hit the Floor is a great song.
I love that song.
It's a very good song.
What's the, is that, no, I'm thinking of, what is the song, oh, Down With the Sickness.
Yeah, also
I like
good.
That song. Oh, yeah.
I also, I like that, I shouldn't admit this on air, I like Blurry by Puddle of Mud.
I don't know that song.
Can you take it all the way?
Oh, I know that song.
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
I don't listen to it all the time.
I also think Disturbed has a great, great cover of Sound of Silence they did on, I think, Conan that is, like, outstanding. His voice is very good.
It's not surprising. If you scream, like, you got to know how to use your voice if you want to keep doing it.
Except unless you're Fred, where you're just kind of like...
He doesn't do anything.
No.
Fred, yeah, he's, like, not even really yelling. You can just tell he's, like... talking aggressively into a microphone that's really turned up.
Yes.
Like,
it feels like a street rap battle. It's like, I won't lie, that I can't deny. And it's like, are you, where? What's the rhythm here? This is prepared for any song.
And he still needs his hype man on the side being like, hot, I'm not.
Move it.
Not a virgin.
I got hair.
So I want to know, what is it that he can't deny?
Well.
I did it all
for the cookie. Come on. Come on!
What?
Yeah! 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 Come on! Come on! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah!
Stick it up your yes!
So, my favorite part about this is that they use different yeahs for each time that he does it.
Wow!
Because it's like the first four, it's like... the same, yeah, and then like in the second he's like exhausted, like yeah. Yeah,
do you have the stem?
I do.
Stick it up, y'all. Yeah, stick it up,
y'all. Oh, it's mixed left right.
Yeah,
stick it up, y'all. I did it all for the nookie. Come on, the nookie. Come on, so you can take that cookie and stick it up, y'all.
Yeah,
stick it up, y'all.
Yeah,
stick it up, y'all.
Yeah,
stick it up, y'all.
No longer enjoyable.
They get a little crack on the third one.
Yeah.
I'm feeling, like, very high when you make this into that.
It's because of the panning.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Sorry.
In this type of music. I don't understand it here.
Sorry, Mom. Too loud for you.
Oh, what, Mom? You don't like my songs in stereo? Sorry.
So really good idea to name the song Nookie and to say it so many times, because so many things rhyme with Nookie, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, cookie.
Symbolically, what is the cookie?
I have no idea.
I feel like there's an answer, right?
So you looked it up. I couldn't find anything.
That is it. So you can take that, comma, cookie term of endearment.
Maybe. So you can take that, cookie.
Or his girlfriend, Cookie. Yeah.
Her name's Cookie. Isn't that the girl's name in Empire?
Yes. Yeah.
So maybe it's her name.
Ooh.
No way.
I don't think Taraji would.
What if Empire stole the character name from Nookie?
What if Fred sent an email and was like, got a great character name?
Hey, Terrence Howard, why don't you come to my jazz night? We'll talk.
The other thing that's funny about the cookie is that it lended itself very good.
It lent itself real good.
To a parody version. I think you could just play it without introduction.
Sure.
He came into this world as a Muppet. Look into these eyes. You see that they are googly. Bigfoot in his nest and Oscar in his can. Ernie is a guy that lives with another man. Hey. Comments on the scene, you know,
it is easy to agree,
but I did it all for the cookie, the cookie, the cookie, and me can take a cookie and stick it in my yum, stick it in my yum, stick it in my yum.
Don't love that.
I don't love it. This is not an official Sesame Street thing, right?
I heard this because everyone downloaded it on LimeWire. I don't know who made it. I don't know where it came from.
That's great.
LimeWire was just the most pristine form of media where it's like, I don't care if anyone knows that I made this. I just want everyone to hear it.
Yeah, and there's no discussion to be had about it.
No.
Enter at your own risk.
Until like 10 years later when everyone's like, do you remember this? Remember because we all thought we were downloading this song and it turned out to be a Cookie Monster parody.
Right. It was like, we can't. It's so hard to find. There's just a lot of. I miss all the first
the Bill
drafts
Clinton
of LimeWire.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the top of like every song.
Yeah.
Like,
whoa.
So I actually like Stick It In Your Yum better than Stick It In Your Yeah, because at least the yum, I'm like, oh, that's a vagina. Stick it in your yum.
I don't think.
Oh, I thought it just meant my little mouth.
Yeah. That's clearly what it's supposed to mean.
Right.
But if you read between the lines.
I don't want to.
It's a vagina.
Not for Cookie Monster.
Stick it in my yum.
Do you think Fred Durst is talking about the vagina? Is that
the... I think he's saying ass.
I think he's suggesting ass.
Okay, that's what I thought,
stick it, like, I think he's trying to be like, shove it up your ass.
Yeah.
The cookie or the facts?
Well, the facts are the cookie.
Oh, okay. Maybe we located it.
It's a fact cookie, of course.
Yeah. Right.
I think that he's trying to say, like, the cookie being the any concept of the relationship being a real, like, love story. I'm getting very, okay. Like, I'm really reading this, like, poetry right now. But I'm like, okay, I think he's trying to say the cookie is their love. And so he's like, yeah, you think I loved you, idiot? I just wanted to fuck, so
you can take
that
take that our fucking and put it up your butt.
No, the fucking,
take our beautiful lovemaking and shove it up your ass. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that's probably how he sang it first draft.
Oh yeah.
I'm pretty sure
they're like,
Fred,
Fred, I'm gonna need you to go in the booth, jerk off a little bit, and then come out and do this again.
I love the idea that if Fred Durst did not just come, he can only cry thing.
Yeah. It's also, I feel so deceived by the song, since clearly, like, no sane person knows the words, that you can't even understand them.
There is a version where the words are clearer, though.
What?
I won't lie, and I can't deny. Beverly Hills.
Yeah, me.
That's where I want to be.
So bad!
The same song.
Everything is not Beverly Hills.
Yes, it is. I haven't been proven wrong once yet.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
That actually, blood is boiling now.
That one worked really well.
Yeah. It goes with every song. Every song sounds like Beverly Hills by Weezer.
I feel more deceived by you.
You the ding.
I'm also like, as much as I, on paper, hate this, when this comes on, I groove.
I don't.
I do groove.
I want the drop in the VMAs is better than the drop in this song.
It's true.
Which is too bad.
It also takes way too long to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The intro alone, Fred Durst does like a lap around the song. He's like, shit.
Every nu metal performance does start with them on stage doing a lap around the stage while people start a mosh pit. They like do a weird like circle and then they start rapping.
Yeah, I heard that.
So there's a purpose to it?
Mm-hmm, their shows are actually only at racetracks and the whole audience stands in the middle and they just drive around in the car the entire concert.
Instead of the national anthem, this is what they stand up for at NASCAR races.
And actually they never sit down because the whole show is like this.
Yeah.
On the back of a flatbed truck.
That's why their instruments are so far away, is because they had to mix out the sound of the cars.
Well, actually, each instrument's in a different car.
Oh, so, or that.
Really, and if they don't line up just right, the recording goes.
I'm like, what can he possibly have left to say after that?
Oh, he's got so much to say.
Boy.
Why?
That's by far my favorite part of the song.
Why did it take so long?
Why?
That's Bob Dylan on a trampoline.
He sounds why? Like he's like, what? It sounds like he's like, why?
Why? That one, like, why? Yeah.
Can you listen to that again? I love this part so much. Actually, do you have the isolated vocal?
Yeah.
Can we play the isolated vocal
absolutely.
Part?
Absolutely.
I love it so much.
Why did it take so long? Why did I wait so long, huh? To figure it out, but I did it, and I'm the only one underneath the sun who didn't get it.
Why does he say, but I did it?
But I did it.
I did figure it out.
I love how he randomly chooses, like, all right, this line is going to have my voices doubled. This line is going to have just it, my voice on the left.
Oh, my God. Why did it take so long? Why did I wait so long, huh? To figure it out, but I did it.
And I'm the only one.
Oh, I love that we get that cadence again.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's funny. Oh my God, that's funny. Okay, so he must be talking about her cheating on him, right?
Yeah.
Huh? Huh?
Huh?
But I did it. I did figure it out. I figured it out way late.
He's the only one underneath the sun who didn't get it.
Yeah, every single person on the entire planet was like, hey, do you know Fred Durst's girlfriend's cheating on
him? It was news, and he's like, I'm not going to look at the news. Not one bit today.
Like, yo, Cookie's wilding out.
No, Cookie's never home, and she smells like dick all the time.
Hey, OTP, Fred and Cookie.
Hey, man, Cookie's got like a live stream going on where she just talks about how many people she's fucking that aren't you. Like, I don't want to see that.
He's like, nah, she's just kidding.
Huh? Huh?
And also, how self-congratulatory he is, it actually makes me feel bad for him.
But I did it.
But that's like, if you're like, hey, everyone tried to trick me, but I figured it out. Like, you're always like, oh, bud.
Yeah, I guess the defensive version of Fred in this is like, he's looking for something good in a sea of bad. He's like, well, at least I figured it out eventually. So, that's
I did.
Good.
It could have been a lot worse.
I could have never found out.
What a way to come back to the verse after a chorus.
It's such
a strong choice. Why?
Why?
I also love that it's like,
why?
Why?
It's like he kept doing the circle in the middle of the chorus, and then he came back to the microphone, but he couldn't stop the momentum, so he's just like, yes, yeah, why? Oh, gotta go back. Why did it take so long?
If we're going with the track theory, the microphone that echoes and doubles his voice is... He has to drive back around to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
And then it's like they're lined up at the wrong time, so it's just him in two microphones. And like, well, we can't isolate these, so.
Sorry, it's what you get.
Yeah.
It's like our air conditioner in our podcast.
Yeah, it's just a ghost that comes by sometimes.
Just get some.
Why?
Why?
I also love that, so after this verse, he's already been like, I'm the only one that didn't know, but I figured it out. And then he immediately goes back to being like,
I can't believe that I could be deceived.
This sounds so much like Tupac or like Coolio and Gangsta, just like, and still I surrender.
Oh my God, it's really bad.
It really, these are real Coolio inflection. They're,
yeah. And your homies might be lining in chalk.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's exactly
Why
the same.
Why did it take so long?
Why?
What?
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
I can't believe. I think we need to listen to that isolated again just to hear the way he says, in reality.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't believe that I could be deceived. But you what? By my so-called girl. But in reality.
I can't believe that I could be deceived. But you were.
So wait, so
that could be the whole song, yeah.
So now it's his friend talking to him instead of about him.
I now fully believe that he was the one that was, like, cheating. Like, that she was cheating on Fred Durst with Wes.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't believe that I could be deceived. Like, but well, you were.
Yeah, he's like, we still got to do the band, though. But just so you know, we did hoodwink you.
By my so-called girl. But in reality.
They were like, we also like Beastie Boys. Can we incorporate that into this track
at
all? But in reality. Has a hidden agenda. She put my tender hard in a blender.
And still I surrendered. Hey.
So why in the fuck, if you didn't catch, did he just reference Eve 6?
I wanna put my tender hard in a blender. Want to spin around to a beautiful oblivion.
Whoa.
Honestly, I'm like, Fred Durst listens to Eve 6? That doesn't make sense.
Fred Durst apparently respects all different types of genres.
He's heard a lot of genres and he's throwing stuff in the pot.
We're gonna sing this like Bob Dylan meets Coolio.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm gonna reference Eve 6. What do we think?
Into it.
Pop music, lots of references, something for everyone.
Fred, you know what I always say, when you get a crazy idea, I need you to jerk off, come back, see if it's still good. And if you like it, I'll record it.
I was about to be like, and the tender heart in a blender thing is the best rhyme we've heard so far, and it's not his!
He adds to the before it and after it, where he's like, agenda, tender, heart blender, still I surrendered.
So right. Oh, he does tack on, yeah.
But it doesn't make sense, though.
No.
He's saying, and then we go back to chump.
Hey, like a chump.
How can you surrender? Okay, if she put your tender heart in a blender, it doesn't sound like you have a lot of willpower here to surrender. It sounds like you no longer have a choice in this, right?
Yeah.
So how do you surrender once someone has made a heart smoothie out of your organs?
I feel like it should be, and so I surrendered.
Yeah.
Like, and not and still. Thus. And thus I surrendered. Yes. Thus I surrendered. No. And verily I surrendered. I want to listen to this whole thing isolated again.
Yeah.
I can't believe that I could be deceived. But you were by my so-called girl. But in reality, had a hidden agenda. She put my tender heart in a blender. And still I surrendered.
Yeah, heart in a blender.
You know what it reminds me of? Is that Chappelle Show skit that's like the Tupac song that was found after he died?
No, I don't know it.
Oh, God. It's so good. It's basically, it's like Dave Chappelle at a club, and they're playing a Tupac song. And it was like, oh, yeah, he wrote this song in 1994, and it's just referencing things that are happening in the room.
Uh-huh.
So everyone's like, that's very weird. And he just delivers it like, I wrote this song in 94. Still, I believe that you can't. It's just that same cadence of talking. It's insane.
It's not very conversational.
No, it's comical.
It's comical. Yeah, it sounds like a stand-up bit. It doesn't sound like a song per se.
Yeah.
I kind of like it more.
I like it as that, but not as a song.
No.
I'm very confused as to how it is a song. And then he does the whole hey like a chump.
Hey like a chump.
And the chorus.
Yeah, so we get the chorus again, and then we get an interlude.
This interlude is so weird because it's mixed down to the point that I'm like, I can't tell when he starts talking, but I have it clipped. So there it is.
Wow. Oh my God.
This is Nine Inch Nails.
No, it's just corn. What the fuck? I don't even remember this section of the song.
This feels like he left himself a voicemail and then put the voicemail in the track.
Also, the lyrics he's saying here, I'm only human. It's so easy for your friends to give you their advice. They'll tell you, just let it go. It's easier said than done. This feels just like a page straight out of his journal.
This is such a sad song that people were getting buck to in the 90s.
Buck is the opportune word here.
Absolutely.
He cannot let it go. So the whole, this is not a fucking song.
I'm only human.
It's so easy for your friends to like give you their advice, to like tell you to let it go, but it's easier said than done, you know what I mean?
That literally sounds like Cher from Clueless. I don't understand how his fan base was mad he collabed with Christina Aguilera and not mad at him for these words.
Because they were listening to the energy and not the lyrics.
Well, also, I think deliberately they mixed the vocals super low here, so you can't understand him being sincere at all.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like even if
it's like a ghost.
Yes, it's like
Richard Cool.
Before the cars have started going, he's like, "I'm just gonna get a few lines I'm only human."
You can't see what Debbie's doing, but he's got both hands on the mic and his eyes are closed and his face is fully pressed into it.
Trent Reznor-ing.
I'm
only human.
Social Network.
Trent Reznor, though, maybe this is my own bias showing, but like I feel like when Trent Reznor does it, it's actually kind of badass.
When Trent Reznor does it, it rules.
Right?
Team Trent.
Team Trent.
Yeah.
But Fred, bud.
I'm only human.
It sounds like when you were like a kid and you put your voice like right up to a fan.
Yeah.
And you're like, I sound so badass.
I'm a robot.
And then he goes on to say so much more.
I
that's the part people are like, yeah, leave him alone.
Yeah.
This is emo. It's emo rock.
Do you have the vocals for this?
Sure do.
That, I appreciate it. It's I'm a like human. 400 vocals. That's so funny.
Me, every time I'm asked to go out, I'm like, appreciate it. Just leave me alone. Goodbye.
It's so much clearer here. Wes is just screaming. That was his friend actually saying.
Stop. Stop.
Yeah. This is on the other side of the track.
Yeah. Leave me alone. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's reminding me of like the soundtrack to Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, like the weird, like the droning sort of sounds that are just filling in the background.
Yeah.
In our racetrack theory, it feels like someone is across the track and the other person's like trying to remind them of what the lyrics are. And it's like, I appreciate it.
He's cute carding.
Yeah.
These are also words that, like, don't make good lyrics.
No.
He says, I appreciate it. I do. But just leave me alone. I do. I do. Like, an aside.
These are texts.
Yeah. Or better yet, this is, like, a tweet.
Yes.
Right? This isn't something you say, much less sing. Also, can we just say how brave it is that they just completely disregarded pitch for this entire section?
Disregard pitch, disregard rhythm, disregard rhyme. These are just sentences.
But he's still, like, not quite talking.
No.
He's not just talking.
No.
But he's not singing either.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like when someone's very drunk and they're, yeah. like, suddenly their voice isn't really song or speech.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Just leave me alone.
Just leave me alone. This is the Linkin Park part.
Yeah. Double up vocals.
Oh, he's waking up.
And that's screaming.
Wes is in.
No. Okay, ooh. Listen. I was tracking that stay here, because that's the highest note in that little thing.
Yeah.
It was flat the first two times, and then when he jumped an octave, I was like, whoa, how is he going to hit that? And I'm just going to stay. I was like, well, okay, he's got pipes if he can do that.
The answer is...
he just didn't sing the right note.
Oh, he screamed it.
They did. Listen, yes. The last stay here is not the right note. Just leave
me alone. Reach out and touch faith.
Ooh, yeah, fine.
Super flat, right?
Yeah.
That's better. Still flat. Okay, now listen to the stay.
This is a man trapped in hell.
Leave me alone!
Oh my god, never...
They kept in the first track, Leave Me Alone. It's the first take.
Yes.
Yeah, that's before he jerked off.
Leave me alone!
Hey, we've got the studio for like an... Leave me alone!
Leave me alone!
Oh my god.
And nothing's gonna stay!
What the fuck note was that?
Nothing's gonna stay!
Stay.
Could be interpreted as a sob. Like, nothing's gonna stay.
Oh, poor Fred.
Fred is suffering.
He really is.
You really can't tell with the rest of the band in there. With the band, you're like, hell yeah. And then without the band, you're like, oh no.
Because you only feel the buildup of him saying something.
Yeah, nothing's gonna change. I'm just gonna stay here.
So he's saying, like, I'll never be happy and I'm not moving?
So he's like, nothing. Okay, wait. Yeah, so he's talking. Here he's talking to his friend, I think. And he's saying, stop telling me to get over it. Nothing's gonna change. You can go away. I'm just gonna stay here and always be the same. So he's, I think, doubling down on being like, I refuse to get over her, and I never will.
I love how the chorus of this song is so different from the message of this song, which is clearly like,
right.
I I'm lying about the fact that I wanted this all for sex. This is clearly something that is tearing me apart.
Right. Like, it's so obviously that he's just trying to put on a cool front for the boys.
Yeah.
But he couldn't really pull it off enough.
But so he's also, like, being open with the boys and being like, no, I'm never going to be the same. Like, I'm forever altered by what she's done.
Yeah, like, just get over it. It's like, you're only saying that because you slept with her, man. Yeah, get over it.
Yeah, in reality.
But in reality.
I also love that. So, in context now, him saying, I did it all for the nookie in response to the Christina thing is even sadder.
I know, because you're like, do you think we didn't listen to the rest of the song?
Ugh, buddy.
I genuinely think he was
if so, you're right.
We didn't until 20 years later. But, like, I genuinely feel really bad for him, because I'm like, everyone heard that song and was like, hell yeah, fuck bitches, have sex. And he was like, Yeah, that's man. What I said. Sure.
I don't want to give him too much credit, but now I feel like Fred's almost like a crush guy. Like, maybe he's acting weird on stage because he has a big old crush on Christina. He's like, man, she'll never be. I'm such a freaking loser.
Yes.
I'm just here in my hat and my clothes that are bad. And
but, like, toxic masculinity so affected the way he thinks he's supposed to hit on women that he's like, I'll just say I fucked her. And then she'll get the message.
And then she'll be like, hey, I didn't think of that before. Maybe I should have sex with Fred Durst.
And it
really
tore him.
Cool guy who has lots of hair.
I want to see what he's hiding under that hat. It tore him apart so much that years later he's like, I'm just going to do jazz about it.
Oh,
do you think he still has a crush on
He
Christina?
Absolutely saw La La Land, and the ending to him was like, that's what it could have been with me and Christina if I hadn't just said I did it for the nookie.
Honestly, like, I don't know anything about him personally, so I reserve the right to retract these words at any time, but sure. Like, I a little bit sympathize for Fred Durst now.
I genuinely have a respect for him because of how many different things he's clearly trying to do and how this song is like, he loves the genre of nu metal, but he did want to make like a hit that was about how crushed he is by this breakup.
Yeah.
That's like taboo subject in this type of song, I feel like.
In 1999.
To the point where you almost have to hide it inside of this toxic assumed narrative.
Right.
But if you listen for even a moment, he's suffering and he's literally
cry for help.
Crying in the
it's
song.
Literally, it's the song version of that middle school meme that was just like, she's broken, and then they put the parentheses where it's like, he's okay in the middle of it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
MySpace.com.
That's what, yeah.
Oh, it also suddenly I'm like, oh, maybe Behind Blue Eyes was like pulling from the same experience.
I don't know that song at all.
It's the cover for Gothica.
Oh, right.
What
no
was
one
the
knows what it's like.
What was like the middle school meme that was like, these lies, these eyes.
Oh, real eyes, real eyes, real lies.
Yes. I never understood what that meant.
I used to invoke that.
It's literally just like,
oh,
real eyes, realize, real lies.
Because
they all sound the
genius.
Same.
It's kind of genius.
I remember saying a lot in middle school, like, I thought I sounded so smart. I'd be like, everything means nothing. So nothing means everything.
Holy shit.
And just walk out of the room.
PC for PC. Thank you so much.
Learning sentence structure as a kid was revolutionary to nu metal and sad poetry.
Genuinely, yeah. It really made you feel like much more of an artist than you deserved to feel like.
If God is everywhere, then everywhere is God.
God? You say like a question all the time, though.
God?
God?
Just something to think on.
Well, the question mark implies like, is it? Is there?
It almost feels like you're trying to like, you're expecting someone to start snapping.
Yes.
Just like,
God?
You're leaving the space there.
And then if no one does, you go, just spitballing.
Just a little thought I had. Maybe you're not ready for it yet.
It actually, if you, I mean, I almost am bummed I did slam poetry for Crash Into Me, because I'm like, you could actually just take this song word for word, rearrange it as slam poetry, and it would sound totally legit.
The acapella version of this is just slam poetry. Like, he's got the verses down to a point where she's kind of like,
I didn't take so long. Why did I wait so long? Huh? To figure it out, but I did it, and I'm the only one underneath the sun who didn't get it.
That really?
You could like, hear? Did you hear the ugh? That's someone in the audience being like, damn.
Yeah, I feel you, good. Man. I'm with you, brother.
Yeah, she's also a slam poet. She's in the room. Everyone's like, holy shit. It's like that scene from Degrassi when they're like getting Craig.
Craig's on stage singing that song.
The song is a prize for breaking my heart.
Speaking of songs I downloaded on LimeWire, that one.
Yeah!
I don't know
loved
the song
it.
At all.
Oh my gosh.
Ashley.
I had like printed an iron-on of Craig's flaming head and ironed it onto a backpack.
Oh, I would have thought you were so cool.
Thank you so much.
I mean, I already
not.
Do, but that was pretty cool.
That is the last verse.
Yeah.
Okay. But the album version of this song has 20 seconds at the end that is just almost like, you know how rap songs would sometimes have like, or rap albums would have sketches in between the...
Yeah.
This is, I guess, the version of that because it's...
Oh my god.
Wow, great. That's there it amazing. Is. You lose a view. That's fucking amazing.
Here's how you do it. Watch this.
Fred's the master.
You gotta pay for a major expensive glass. That's how you do it.
This is straight up at the end of the song.
Oh my god. They are
I feel
so
attacked.
Drunk.
I think no, that the sound of shattering glass is Fred Durst coming on the magazine.
I was going to say, this is residual jerk-off energy. He's like, I still got to get it out.
No,
and
that's the sound Fred Durst comes makes.
Glass.
I thought that's what him screaming at the end of that last clip was. But no, this is he's like, I'm just going to stay. Crack.
Yeah, definitely. Oh. They probably did that because they used it in the song, right?
Yeah.
Breaking They're, glass sounds.
Also, whatever glass is breaking is absolutely a Mike's Hard Lemonade bottle. No doubt in my fucking mind.
You love Mike's Hard Lemonade.
I love a Mike's.
It might have been Zima's. It might have been Zima's.
Zima's. Oh.
Depending on the studio. Yeah. That's the end of the song.
That is the end of the song.
Wow, what a journey.
It feels like such a circular journey. Like we did a few laps around a racetrack.
Yeah, I don't think that he comes out of this song. I mean, he comes at the end of this song. Yes.
As evidenced by the postscript.
You right. can stick that up your yeah.
Stick that up your yeah.
But he doesn't grow at all with it. He, in fact, refuses to grow.
Yeah, he's like, get away from me. I would like to be crushed. Thank
yeah.
you.
Let me suffer.
Yeah.
And it's funny because this song is one of the lead singles from an album called Significant Other. So this is all just pity rock.
Right before Chocolate Starfish and Hot Dog Flavored Water. Best album name of all time.
Absolutely
that is
the best.
Great, yeah.
So for the punch up, I was like, I think what he's saying here could work, but it would have to be dramatically redone and rearranged. And I am not as competent as my brother is, who's a professional musician.
Henry.
So I conned my brother Henry into collaborating with me, when by which I mean he mostly did it and I added some harmonies.
I was like, were you like, it's my birthday, do this?
Yeah, pretty much. But also because I was like, I can do this, but my brother will make this sound like fucking Nick Drake, and that's way funnier than what I would
God.
Do.
Fucking God.
I came into this world as a reject. Look into these eyes, then you'll see the size of these flames dwelling on the past.
Gave it a rhythm.
He has to learn from the pain. I did it all for the nookie.
The fucking, the panic.
So you can take that cookie and stick it up your.
That's fucking outstanding.
That was so beautiful.
God, I love Henry so much.
Oh, he's so great.
It sounded like a deep cut from the Once musical. That was so nice.
This
a heartbreak song. It should sound like a heartbreak song.
This is some fucking Bright Eyes shit. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I mean, you almost nookie, wouldn't even nookie. Know that was the nookie unless Henry hadn't put the nookie.
Yeah.
The nookie.
The whisper. Oh, so subtle.
I was really blown away. I was like, just a minute. Maybe like bastardize the first verse a bit. Whatever you got. It really doesn't have to be like anything that insane. He was like, cool. Sends that back in 2 hours.
Jesus.
Very chill.
That's... Honestly, that's like, I've actually listened to it a couple times. Yeah. Like, this is pretty.
It's really beautiful.
I feel like I'm sitting in a meadow just like watching a waterfall. It's just like a very peaceful, like a cascading. I want Fred Durst to hear this.
I know, Fred Durst, come at us, bro.
Durst, if
I bet he'd like it.
He'd like it and be like, you got to come to the jazz night and perform this live.
I want to collab with Fred Durst.
Please. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Can we hashtag Bredo Durst collab? Get it trending, y'all.
Okay, should we get to Unpunchable Jam?
Let's do it.
You can't punch this.
Jimmy!
I thought you said Jimmy.
Jimmy!
Okay, I thought you said Demi that time.
It could be either one. Up to you. Who wants to go first?
Jamie?
You go first.
Okay, I will go first. For this week, because this song is, well, now that we've sort of discussed it, I'm like, well, it's not really about that, but it's about a broken relationship where someone is talking about how much they really were just in for the sex. I thought of Wesley's Theory by Kendrick Lamar, which starts with
at first I did love you, but I just wanna fuck.
I think it's a great song, starts a great album, and it's very funky and very jazzy, and I think Fred would like it. So this one's dedicated to Fred, most of all.
Goes out to you, Fred. Rip. Not dead.
Rest in peace. Alive. Rest in, you know, your bed, living in peace.
Yeah, right. That's the one.
Yeah, I just hope he's getting a good night's sleep.
I really want the best for Fred.
Jamie, what's your Unpunchable Jam?
Islands in the Stream.
Yes! Woo!
Islands in the Stream!
Islands in the Stream, that is what we are. No one in between.
I always go back to what I think is the creepiest isolated part of that song, which is Kenny Loggins singing Fine Tooth Comb.
Fine Tooth Comb.
I really don't like that part of the song. The rest of it is perfect.
I know, and that's what Ghetto Superstar is sampling.
Ghetto Superstar.
That is what you have.
Islands
in the Stream.
Wow.
I almost can't decide which one's better.
And Ben Gibbard and Feist did a version of it, too, which is why
I asked.
Really?
Of course they did.
Well, they weren't on the Bullworth
but
soundtrack.
But nothing beats Kenny and Dolly, dude. Okay, so for my Unpunchable Jam, thank you for letting me go last. It's because I want to shout out my brother super fucking hard.
What a generous...
Get this. Okay, my brother is a solo artist, Henry Bardot. He also is in a band. It's a duo with his girlfriend, Marie, who's also a solo artist, and she's also amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Together, their band is called Perlo. And actually, just recently, maybe a week ago when this airs, they had a single come out off their new EP.
Ooh.
And I am not kidding when I say I think it is the next bop. Like, I really think this is going to be huge. Love it's called Love Like You Care.
Love Like You Care.
Summer is ending. We need a new bop for the fall.
It's going to transition us right into school.
Back to school bop?
Yes. I'm going back to school.
I know it. Obviously, like, nepotism. Like, you think I'm full of shit, but, like, you're listening to it right now. It's... I cannot stop listening
I don't
to
think
it.
You're full of shit at all, because you've said many times that your dad's music is terrible.
I never have said
I'm
that.
I'm kidding.
I love my dad. Dad, I love you. So, he listens.
Frequent
to
guest? One time.
I would love to have him back, so please bring him to my father.
Well, I'm hoping that drops on Spotify soon enough that...
It's already on by the time this airs.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's already up.
Hey.
So
I can't wait to hear it.
And give him some love, because
he's so
that
good.
That was really nice of him to help me with that.
I mean, listen what he did to Nookie.
Yeah.
I
he
know,
made Nookie
right?
palatable.
But, like, if it was dream pop.
Right.
There you go.
Jamie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Is
there anything that you would like to tell people about or plug or where they can see you online?
Yeah. I'm on twitter.com at JamieLoftisHelp. I got a podcast called The Bechdel Cast, and I do a show called The Hacker Who Codes.
Yes.
Around or just around.
The best place, though, is to just find you on Twitter. And
yeah, Twitter's the easiest
touch.
Place.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You've also got great Instagram stories.
Thank you so
oh,
much.
Oh, what? I got to follow you on Instagram. I never seen
it. It's time for some stories.
Is it just Jamie Loftus?
It's Jamie Christ Superstar.
That's
I got no Unity.
Who needs it?
Thank you so much. You can also catch me at any screening of I, Tonya at any time.
That is very true.
I, Tonya boys in the house.
Yeah.
Please check out Jamie and I's new podcast, I, Tonya boys, which yes. only one of us is a boy, but, you know, it's still, we're
neither
discussing
of you are
I,
Tonya.
No, yeah. Neither of us is Tonya.
You can find Demi at Electro Lemon, me at Miel, us at Punch Up the Jam on everything.
Mm-hmm. You can email us at punchupthejam@gmail.com. You can find the jams at punchupthejam.com. You can find everything at punchupthejam.com.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and
literally all I had to say.
Same.
Oh, write us an iTunes review.
Do it.
Please.
Tell your friends about us.
Oh, you know what? Call we should probably throw this out there. We're thinking about taking September off. Just have a little month-long summer break for ourselves, because making these songs is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and we knew it was going to be a lot of work when we started this, but we were like, we can handle it. And you know, Icarus.
No, I think we can. I just think you gotta treat yourself a little. So maybe we'll take about 4 weeks off.
Yes.
We'll announce it later. But just warning you. Just floating the idea.
Yeah, just floating the idea. You decide if you like it or not. Doesn't matter if you do.
And if you you don't like it.
If you don't like it, you can take that cookie and stick it up your yeah.
Oh!
Wow!
Good night, everybody!
Okay, that was
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch Up the Jam.
Hey!
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.